I've discovered, visiting with many of you, that it may be your first time in this room or even this building. Isn't it spectacular? A round of thanks, please, to the folks who made this possible at the State Library. You are here on an occasion that is intended to be, and I hope you will agree, is the most special that we celebrate in Indiana all year long. And we'll give you our reasons for that assertion in a moment or two. But to begin this morning, I'd like to invite a good friend of mine, churchmate of mine, and a close relative of our honoree, Dwayne Anderson, to offer an invocation.
Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we humbly bow before you on this grand occasion to give you praise and thanks for the bountiful blessings you have so generously poured out upon our nation and this state. We are thankful for our freedom and for those who give their lives to preserve and protect it. We are thankful for our government and for those who dedicate their lives to govern wisely at all levels, and especially here in this great state of Indiana. We are thankful, O Lord, for the many and various resources you provide for us. Today we gather together in order to pay tribute to a man who has served his country bravely, who has governed his personal and business affairs wisely, and who has enriched the lives of thousands of Hoosiers by willingly and joyfully investing his life in service to the people of this state. And so, dear God, we ask your blessing on this ceremony. As we honor one of your servants, may it bring glory to your holy name. Amen.
Some of you have been with us on the three past occasions when we have honored what we now know as a sachem, but not all of you. And let me first take a few moments to explain our purpose here today. And as I do, I think it will become increasingly obvious to you why we are here paying tribute to the man we have selected. Each year on this day, my first thought in the morning is a favorite aphorism from Alex Haley, who admonished us to find the good and praise it. It's a good rule of life. But it begs a central question. What is the good? Or as the Greeks used to say, what is the nature of the good? And we jump too quickly over that, I think, sometimes, to use terms of approbation, even superlatives, far too casually, at least for my taste. A quick note about our history. Former Governor Ed Whitcomb, who I'm so happy is with us here today. Ed, thank you for coming, and congratulations on the life you've led. Came to me in my first year in office and told me about a institution that had gone latent. He had created as an advisory group of the most distinguished men and women in the state at the time a council of the sachem meaning the Indian term for wise person, elder, but it had gone dormant. He got my attention when he told me there was some money involved. There was actually a fund in a bank in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I think it was. It'd been sitting there for 30-some years. So now I'm listening closely. And after some reflection and back and forth, at Ed's invitation, we revived this, but in a very different way. And I sought Governor Whitcomb's permission, which he gave graciously and enthusiastically, to create a new honor, one above all others that the state confers. And that the nature of the good that we honor today is, yes, achievement, accomplishment, the doing of great deeds, but in equal measure, a life of moral excellence and virtue, the kind of example maybe we need today in ways we have not always. You know, to me, we do not suffer from a shortage of honors in this society. I can turn on cable television any night and someone in Hollywood or somewhere is honoring somebody. But if you repair to your Webster's, The term honorable is full of words like principle, integrity, worthy of respect. And some of us believe that we, in this era, shower honors on people who may have done something very interesting and hard to achieve, but are not people of principle or integrity, and not, when you think about it, really worthy of respect for what they did in business, what they did in sports, outside the court, what they did in entertainment. Someone said, an age reveals its values in its choice of heroes. And so we seek in Indiana to express our values by honoring the most unique heroes we can find who embody the two dimensions of achievement and virtue about which I've spoken. To me, the sachem must be a genuine, a literal honor through which Hoosiers say, at least here, where we live, it is not enough that you did great things, however much we might appreciate them. How did you live your life? What was your behavior like? We may tolerate virtually any behavior that harms no one, but that doesn't mean we condone it. We believe devoutly in equal rights, equal treatment under the law, but that does not translate necessarily into a judgment of equal worth or that everyone is equally worthy of respect. We are not agnostic or indifferent to conduct. And you may be, if you are famous enough for something, we may overlook or discount the way you led your life. But we will reserve our most passionate admiration, respect, and honors for those who did great things and did them in a way we consider honorable. I guess in that sense, the sachem is a way to say, with all the risks this involves these days, we are judgmental. We do believe that virtue and moral conduct matters. True heroes are rare. Just as I hope we will be careful not to too casually cheapen the whole notion of honor, that word should be reserved, I think, for those who reflect the very, very, very best of which humans or Hoosiers are capable. So at least as we have conceived and now given this award, now to its sixth recipient, you can't buy a sachem. You can't donate your way to a sachem, how much we might appreciate your charitable heart. We have specified that this award will be given at most once a year. I suspect there will be years when we just skip it, or some future governor does, because there's not a Danielson around that we can find. But the hope of this token and this hour we'll spend is that by singling out the very finest among us, those who did great things but led great lives simultaneously, we will catch the attention of our fellow citizens, particularly our younger citizens, and that for generations to come, Indiana will be blessed by more such people. Thank you for being with us, and I hope for supporting the values we seek to uplift this morning. Our finest Indiana historian of recent times has helped us on past occasions, has offered us some reflections about a famous question, what the heck's a Hoosier? And once again, we are delighted to be graced by Professor James Madison from Indiana University. Professor, would you step forward, please, for a few words of reflection?
Governor Daniels, Governor Whitcomb, Mr. Danielson, IU friends, colleagues, and I hope in this era of increasing cooperation with that university in Lafayette, some Purdue people are here too. It's a delight and an honor to be part of this occasion, not only to be on the same platform as our honoree, a true wise man, a true sachem, but also because of the meaning of this event. The Sachem Award honors, as our governor just said, our very, very best. And Governor Daniels has asked me to talk and reflect a little bit about that. And what I want to do is connect our Hoosier character, as I see it, with our heroes, provide some context for thinking about the Sachem Award now and in our future. There are all manner of qualities often assigned to us, to Hoosiers. Most of them are positive, good. At our best, we value excellence. We value virtue. We also value modesty. We don't like boasting. We don't like braggarts. The trait of modesty was part of our heritage from pioneer days. Those Indiana pioneers who cleared the land and churned the butter had little use for braggarts and swelled heads. That Indiana modesty, however, can be something of a problem because it's often trumped by celebrity and fame. We're all susceptible to the pull of celebrity, especially the younger among us, to individuals who have their 15 minutes of fleeting fame, deserved or not. We need to seek ways to move beyond that, beyond celebrity, to genuine achievement, to know and to honor those who leave behind enduring footsteps of service, of virtue, of excellence. And the Sachem Award does just that. It's a medication, I think, to be administered when celebrities overwhelm our popular culture. Now, we're fortunate in Indiana that we do have heroes, not just celebrities. Men and women of excellence and virtue, plenty of them. Let me offer a few of my personal examples as illustration, but urge you to find your own heroes among us. And I start with Abraham Lincoln in the year of his bicentennial. The Indiana youth who read and observed and thought and who arrived at his own deep understanding of the human condition. No other person from Indiana's pioneer days was his equal. In fact, I think no other American yet is his equal. We need to remember that Lincoln grew up in Indiana, that to the end of his life he spoke with a Hoosier accent, and we should claim him aggressively, I think, putting aside our Indiana modesty, standing up to claims from other places like Kentucky and Illinois. Abraham Lincoln, Hoosier hero. Another example, largely unknown today, is William W. Wick, a judge, a lawyer, who presided at a trial not far from here to the northeast. This Indiana judge in 1824 found four white men guilty of murdering Indians at a time when most white folks here thought that a good Indian was a dead Indian. But it was more than that. In handing down his sentence in 1824, Judge Wick said, "By what authority do we boast of our being white? What principle of philosophy or religion established the doctrine that a white skin is preferable in nature or in the sight of God to a red or black one?" Judge Wick is my Hoosier hero, a wise man of the village in 1824, a sachem of his time, and I think of ours. Or let me move to the 20th century for another of my favorites, Wendell Willkie of Elkhart and Rushville, best known for his presidential bid in 1940. But I think his greatness is found elsewhere. His greatness is found in his prescient global vision, embodied in his 1943 book titled One World, which I still think, maybe now more than ever, is worth a look and a read. Or also in Wendell Willkie's willingness, eagerness to work for racial equality at a time when Jim Crow segregation was the order of the day. Or Ada Schweitzer, a female physician of the 1920s who pioneered in infant care and public health, working within the confines of a less than enthusiastic state government and less than enthusiastic medical profession. Or two African-American lawyers, Robert Bailey and Robert Brokenbur of Indianapolis, who took on the hardest cases of their day, including the defense of a black teenager in the aftermath of a horrendous lynching in Indiana in 1930. Or Eli Lilly, not only because he built the pill factory, as he called it, down on McCarty Street, built it by the 1920s, to a global powerhouse of the pharmaceutical industry, but because of his long and passionate commitment to building character and virtue in young people. My personal favorite, Herman B. Wells, because every day I walk in the midst of his excellence that he built at Indiana University, because like many of you in this room, I had opportunities to see with my own eyes the magic he worked. And because I can still see the gleam in his eye as he talked about his alma mater, which is also mine, and perhaps even because I can recall the gleam in his eye as he contemplated a piece of sugar cream pie or persimmon pudding. Those are some of my personal favorites. Hoosiers who left behind examples of excellence and virtue that remain relevant to our time in the 21st century. Hoosiers who valued education, justice for all, service to others. Hoosiers of immense wisdom and achievement, yet also men and women of modesty and grace. Now, as a historian, I need to acknowledge that we have other traditions in our past, ones we sometimes would rather forget, but never dare forget. The most obvious is the Klan, which hangs over us still like a great burden, the Klan of the 1920s, a time when many white Protestant Hoosiers regarded Catholics, Jews, and blacks as them, the others, those people, not truly Hoosiers, much less likely to be chosen as Indiana heroes. I mention this most obvious example to suggest that we have had our share of ignorance and meanness and failure. There's another negative tradition, however, less noticed, sometimes more muted. One that I think stymies our hopes for excellence and virtue, and this is the Indiana tradition of being content with mediocrity. There have been tendencies throughout Indiana's history to believe that good enough was, in fact, good enough. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That aphorism passed down through the generations as Hoosier wisdom. The good enough tradition has not usually produced villains, of course, but it doesn't make heroes either. Good enough was never good enough for Coach John Wooden. Never good enough for Father Ted Hesburgh, nor Jane Blaffer Owen, nor Bill and Gloria Gaither, and not for Danny Danielson. Mr. Danielson's life suggests that good enough was not good enough serving in the Navy of World War II, that good enough seldom won a basketball game, that good enough was not Mr. Danielson's way of doing business or of serving his community of Henry County, Indiana, and certainly never sufficient for his beloved Indiana University, to which he has given so much of his time and talent. We can and we must make distinctions, I believe, between mediocrity and excellence, between celebrities and heroes, by using our own brains rather than the TV remote control, by challenging received wisdom often masquerading as common sense, even, dare I say, reading good history. We must try to see more clearly the larger context that shape lives and cultures past and present. We must see differences between real heroes, real sachems, and flashes in the pan. In honoring this sachem today, we honor, I think, our best traditions as Hoosiers, and we challenge ourselves, each of us, to excellence and to virtue. Thank you very much.
Professor Madison, as on past occasions, that was perfect. Thank you so very much. Danny Danielson, you have achieved great things by any measure. You have been a wonderfully successful businessman. You've been a civic leader in ways that fill volumes. You've been a philanthropist and, as the book encourages us to be, a joyful giver. You've served our nation and displayed the virtue of bravery. You had a business career that was prosperous, yes, but spotless in terms of the reputation that you built. And in what short supply that seems in recent years in our country. People who did business with Danny over the years will say things like, you didn't need a contract. This is a man you could trust with a handshake. You were busy as almost no one has ever been on behalf of your community or university, causes you believed in, the leadership you gave to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the young lives you touched and improved that way. But what strikes me, Danny, is that you, in every one of these endeavors, brought everyone else along with you. You persuaded them to be joyful givers, and thereby made them better, brought out the good in others as you displayed all the goodness that was in yourself. I can't help noticing that you never left Newcastle. And to me, it's noteworthy, probably not a coincidence, that so far we have honored Wooden of Martinsville, the Gaithers of Alexandria, Jane Owen of New Harmony, that our award that was crafted by Jeff Fearon from Knightstown. We want virtue to reach into every corner of every community, large and small and in between in Indiana, but it's no surprise to me that towns like Newcastle give birth to people who lead lives as you have led yours. There will be years, as I said before, I suspect somewhere along the line there will be years with no sachem. But 2009 is not one of those, because we have among us Danny Danielson. Danny, congratulations. Say anything you feel like saying.
Pardon?
Say anything you feel like saying.
Okay. You know what? I'm speechless. And those of you who have known me, you know that's a rarity. But I want to lead off by saying, Patty, did you hear what the governor had to say? Now, sweetheart, will you believe me? when I tell you that I really do walk on water. Governor Daniels and Governor Whitcomb, distinguished guests and fellow Hoosiers. First off, Governor, let me say how honored I am to receive this award from you. A remarkably able public servant for whom I have the deepest admiration. All Hoosiers should be grateful for the superb leadership you are providing Indiana in these troubled times. Now, as for the award, this is the second highest honor of my life. The first, of course, was when my wife, Patty, said yes to my marriage proposal 63 years ago. And she remains my dearest friend to this day. Now, will you recognize her as she stands? Today, I'm simply overwhelmed to be welcomed into the company of people like Johnny Wooden, Father Hesburgh, Jane Owen, and the Gaithers. These are all highly respected Hoosier icons, and to be mentioned in the same sentence with such names as these is more than Danny Danielson could ever had hoped for. As some of you know, I grew up in South Dakota. And like comedian Herb Schreiner, I moved to Indiana just as soon as I heard about it. Or to be more accurate, I moved to Indiana University as soon as I heard they might be interested in a young, talented baseball player. That was back in the 1930s. Back in the 1930s, in the height of the Great Depression. I don't know whether it was intentional, but I notice that all previous winners of the Sachem Awards have had a strong spiritual dimension in their lives. I'd like to think my selection continues that tradition. I'm convinced, folks, the greatest problem facing society today is the need for a moral and spiritual renewal. We need God to touch our hearts and change our lives. Yes, our problems are complex, and they won't be solved overnight, but unless our hearts are changed in faith, they will never, never be solved at all. So let me just say in conclusion, Governor Daniels, that this native of South Dakota has been very proud to be a Hoosier for 72 years. And every time I hear the question, "Ain't God good to Indiana?" I think, "Ain't God good to Danny Danielson?" Many years ago, in fact, it was in 1937, out on the Dakota Plains, I ignored Horace Greeley's advice, go west, young man, and came east instead. And boy, am I so glad I did, because Indiana has been so good to me. And receiving the Sachem Award today really is the capstone for my Hoosier career. Again, Governor Daniels, thank you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, your presence with us has made this special occasion even more so. Thank you for coming. We are adjourned.